exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, you probably wonder, when they say television and radio host, there's a new component to my life. It is a TV show called Motors, M-O-T-O-R-Z. TV on the web. You can find it there 24/7. And the guy who started all that about 7 or 8 years ago is a guy named Chris Duke, who's on the line with us right now. He is the host with the most of Motors, simply Motors. He calls it Motors. And 82 episodes now, working on 83 right now. And we got one for Barrett Jackson that we were together at Barrett Jackson coming up. We had a blast there. We interviewed a whole bunch of good people, including the guy from the two guys from the TV show on Velocity called Wheeler Dealers, and great guys. Mike, I think it was Mike China, and I can't remember the other guy. Ed China and Mike something or other Brewer.
Yeah.
They really made an impression on you, didn't they?
You know me. I don't remember people. I remember if they smelled good or not, or smelled bad.
Names already.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Anyway, there was just a lot of fun people, and we did a bunch of interviews and a bunch of cool cars and all that kind of stuff all came together, and it's going to be a special episode on Motors TV. And then we've also got some other fun stuff in the can I won't really tell you about because I don't know what the hell it is, but Chris probably does. Chris, so wait a minute. You're going to be filming an episode at Tierra del Sol, an off-road event.
Tierra del Sol, yes.
Yeah, what is that?
It's an off-road event here in San Diego that up until a couple of months ago I had no idea about. But there's two big areas that I've been to for off-roading. One is Ocotillo Wells, which is more of a rocky desert terrain. And then there's Glamis, which is further south, and that's just all sand dunes, which is incredible. But out there at Ocotillo Wells, actually, it's an area called Truckhaven Hills, which is a little bit further out, is an event that's been going on for 53 years, and I had no idea. Now that I know about it, like, everybody goes, and it's just a huge event. So that's coming up here at the beginning of March.
Well, and who else is here in the studio with us? Dick Messer, and he's Director Emeritus of the Peterson Automotive Museum that is under deconstruction right now, and BJ Colleen from carbuzzard.com, silly name for a serious site about cars. Dick, have you ever gone off-roading like they do these days?
Not like they do these days. They just got done with the hammer. We had that gentleman
King
on.
King of the Hammer, right?
King of the Hammer. They these guys are crazy.
Yeah, it's not even what these vehicles do is not even comprehensible to the mind. When you see it doing it, you go, that can't do that. Can't be real. There must be a chain pulling it up the hill.
But it's gotten to be huge. it's like we're talking about here. It's just there's all these events that go on, and they get sponsored, and it's another phase of automotive activity.
Yeah, automotive hobby. And BJ, have you ever done any kind of wild off-roading, like Baja racing or anything like that?
I almost did, but I didn't. I've done the Rubicon Trail. I haven't done racing. I've done off-roading.
So you've done the Rubicon Trail?
Oh, I've done the Rubicon Trail, yeah.
Is that pretty wild? That's one thing I've always wanted to do.
It's a 10 on the score of 10, so it's definitely an all-day event.
You can walk faster.
You can walk it in an hour and a half, literally, and that's faster than, you know. Unfortunately, when we did it, we had some interesting situations because we were behind a large group of people, some who've never done it before, so it took us, instead of the normal 5 or 6 hours, it took us 10 hours because we were mostly waiting for people.
Oh, my gosh.
We actually were one of the few people that actually finished it in the dark, where you're shining flashlights on rocks and hoping not to go over the edge of Cadillac Hill where all the other cars are down at the bottom.
So, yeah, but that's what happens in these events. You just hit on it. There is a lot of backup. Sometimes they jam up in the difficult sections, and you're waiting there for an hour to get on through.
But this thing she's talking about, if you can imagine... And I've seen only pictures of it. I haven't done
it. You've never done the Rubicon? Okay.
I've always wanted to. I mean, I've raced and won the Baja 500 with Hummer.
This isn't about going fast.
Right. This is rock
technical.
Crawling.
It's technical.
And they've heard about your driving.
And that's why they don't invite me?
Yeah,
you would be banging your head on the steering wheel.
There'd be an avalanche.
Literally,
of rocks.
It's like Dick said, you would do a little section and then you'll be waiting a half an hour because some people go in their Jeep Grand Cherokees, and it's really designed for Wranglers and, you know, little things. Even the new Renegade. Now, what you should do is try to get the new Renegade and do that, because it would be able to do it in a heartbeat.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it would be actually a fun vehicle. But
Jeep actually has a model they call the Rubicon.
Yes.
Chris, hang with us, because he's spent probably the last five episodes building a custom, super custom, supercharged Jeep Wrangler. That is, you can watch all these episodes at motors.tv, motors with a Z, motors.tv. Anytime, 24/7, you'll see me and Chris. More of him than me, but it's all good, and soon I'll change that. It'll be more me than him. That's the goal, Chris. Don't go anywhere. I'm joking. It is The Drive. Chris Duke, BJ Colleen, Dick Messer, and me. We'll be right back. She must be a little bit of- Well, you're listening to The Drive. Thanks for joining us. Our show is brought to you in part by Craftsman, America's most trusted tool brand. Made to make. Craftsman Tools. Don't forget, you can also join the Craftsman Club. 18 million members and growing. Deals galore. Craftsman.com. Chris Duke is with us. Our show, also on television, is called Motors TV. And it's on Time Warner Cable and a whole bunch of other providers, including Amazon now has a Fire TV, of which I don't know a whole lot about. Chris, you might have a little more info on that. What's the story with that?
Well, you know those USB thumb drives that you can stick into your computer and load up data? They have something very similar in form factor to that, and it hooks up to your TV. You just plug it into your HDMI port, and you connect it to your wireless router, and you can get content, just like Google Stick and Roku's got a stick. They've also got a hockey puck size type thing that you can plug into your TV as well. But you can get all sorts of content, such as Netflix and Hulu and stuff like that. And one of the channels that is brand new for Amazon Fire is, of course, Motors.
I love it. Love it. Better, more ways to get our content coming to you from every direction these days. Anyway, you were talking about this Tierra del Sol annual off-road event. Everybody, if you're interested and you're in the area of San Diego, California, up in the mountains, I assume, March 6th through the 8th, Tierra del Sol annual off-road event. Part of the Motors TV episodes of custom building cars and things that Chris does is this Jeep Wrangler four-door that he turned from a brand-new stock vehicle into a kind of a super off-road vehicle. And you guys are going to take that out and see what it can do. Is that what you're going to film an episode now?
Yeah, you know, I found out about this from my producer Brian and his friend Josh, and it's turned into something that I had no idea that existed. You know, the size of this thing. They've got 100 vendors out there. They've got a raffle that they're doing Saturday night at this event. They're giving away about $100,000 worth of products and things. Ooh. They've got a fireworks display. It's a small club. It's about 50 members in this club, and what they're doing is they're raising money to keep the land open for off-roaders. But you know, one of our vendors that's there is or one of the vendors that is there that helped us build up our Jeep is Metal Cloak, and they've got Brian was just telling me they've got this trailer that you could pull your vehicle up to, and it measures the articulation, because a lot of these guys are building up these vehicles for months, if not years, to have this incredible articulation so that they can go off-roading and do things like that. Now, we've kind of done that with our Jeep. We've given it a mild lift, and you know, we built it up. We took it to the SEMA show. We've got a few more episodes that we're going to be publishing on the Jeep build, but one of the things that we would love to do is to show viewers this Jeep that we've built up out on the trail, off-roading, and doing some of these things that demonstrate its articulation and its off-road capabilities. So we're super excited about this event. It's called Tierra del Sol. It's TDS4x4.com. I think I talked to the president, Bill Kassler, the other day. He said that it's 1,400 to 1,700 registered vehicles, and there's going to be about 600 that go out on the trails. So we're going to be along for the ride and covering the event. I'll be doing some interviews out there with the president, as well as our friends from Jeep, and because they're going to have a booth there as well. So it's pretty incredible.
Now, so what happens if it rains? It's going to be a mud fest.
We've got some rain in the forecast for this weekend, and I think
that'll make it fun
as well. So we'll see
I want one time I I raced the Nevada 1000 in a Class 1 Unlimited with a race team. I can't think of the name of the race team now. It's been like the year 2000.
It was a Hummer vehicle.
No, it was before that. It was, the brain fart. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But we hit this rain cloud. We're out in the desert, and it's like 100 degrees. Groff Motorsports, that's who it was. Anyway, and everything went from dust to mud. So the car is full of dust. Your suits are full of dust. No windows or anything. And we went from literally dusty, dry, you know, parched to we were muddy, yucky, wet, horrible. And then that all froze on us like freezing, but it was now crusty.
How can I get in on this?
You know,
off-roading is fun.
Because it dried up, you know. Yeah, it was horrible. And then of course, the rest of the story, and we'll come back with more of Chris Duke, but when I raced one time in the Baja 500, they didn't tell me, you really have to wear a catheter.
Yes.
Because you don't pull over to go pee when you're racing.
Right.
And, I didn't. So I did pee my pants while I was racing. The guy who had to sit in the seat after me wasn't so happy with me because, you know, it's kind of a...
Yeah, we get the figure. We get it out.
Racing, let me tell you, not for the faint of heart. The guy after me vomited a few times.
You did a good job. Yeah,
we'll be right back. It's The Drive.
Thanks for that.
Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor, and our guest today on the show is the co-host of, what am I saying? Let me just start over. Ready? Welcome back. Chris, what am I supposed to say?
It's close to the end of the show, isn't it? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He's the host of Motors.
Alan's the energizing bunny is winding down.
I'm like that too.
My coffee's starting to wear off. I'm co-hosting with him. He's co-hosting with me. I don't know what's the difference. Anyway, our show brought to you in part by Bridgestone, and they're passionate about making tires you can count on to perform when it matters most. Bridgestone. Anyway, we're on each other's shows, TV show Motors TV, and he's going to be doing a off-road event called Tierra del Sol, and it is TDS 4x4. Is that what you said? TDS4x4.com?
Yeah, TDS4x4.com. So okay. If you're in the San Diego area and you want to go do some off-roading, go to that website and check it out. It's coming up March 6th through the 8th.
So let me change subjects on you now. Something big in the news. I'm watching the news last night, and all of a sudden I see something on NASCAR. And are the Busch brothers? Are those guys brothers?
Yes, Kurt and Kyle.
So which one got in trouble?
Kurt Busch.
Kurt Busch. Okay. Evidently. And this
allegedly,
he beat the living hell out of his girlfriend.
No.
Okay, allegedly.
Allegedly, his ex-girlfriend, let's put that up.
They were still
Driscoll,
boyfriend and girlfriend before he beat the living hell out of her.
Apparently, they had broken up the week before, and she was worried about his mental health, so she went back to see him. And in the motorhome, apparently or allegedly, he choked her and smacked her head against the wall. So the court gave her like a restraining order, no contact restraining order, and NASCAR immediately suspended him, and Chevrolet immediately suspended him as well. So you won't be seeing him racing at the Daytona 500,
which is tomorrow.
Which he won in 2012.
Yeah. Yes. Now, here's the interesting thing.
Now, they just, on the other side, that they've appealed that ruling already, so.
Who has?
Bush's
people?
The Bush's lawyers have.
But I got to say, and I know this is perhaps a little bit controversial, and somebody I noticed even on Facebook made a comment about one of the other racers that's on probation
right now
for the same thing, but you know what? I think it was a good idea, because these guys are hugely paid sports stars, just like the basketball players, the football players, and any man, any person, and women, you too, if you beat your husband, which doesn't happen very often, but it does happen.
It does happen.
But if you are a high-paid sports professional, you have to be held to a higher standard of personal conduct. But I think anybody, any human being, this is a conduct that is not acceptable anywhere. So I applaud NASCAR for kicking him right in the berries with this. That's what they should do. And I think that football, NFL, and NBA, I think all these guys, any man that beats on his woman needs to have the tar beat out of him. And how they do it? Take him out of the game. Stop paying it.
I agree. You know, with as far as his sponsors are concerned, I applaud them for taking action. Now, for NASCAR to step up, you know, somebody might think, what does NASCAR have to do with some guy's personal life? But, you know, I guess there's also rules there. Like you said, he's held to higher standards. They got to take him out.
Yeah. Well, there's morality clauses in just about every sport now.
Absolutely.
And you know, what kind of example are you setting? It's like, yeah, it's okay, go smack your girlfriend around, and yeah, I'll go ahead and race.
I'll give you an example to this. When I was working with Motor Trend, BJ and I both spent years at Motor Trend. There was a period of time when I got called to the carpet for something that a caller said on the radio show. Mm-hmm. It has to do with when Tesla was given the car of the year, just a couple years ago. And I got this phone call, and I said, buddy, I didn't say a word. I defended what was being said, and you're going to call me up and tell me that my behavior or whatever was out of line on the radio show? Did you listen to the interview?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else called up and said that they thought it was a hoax or whatever it was, that, you know, whoever wants to pay the most can be the car of the year crap. And, you know, and there's always this controversy, right?
Always has been. Yeah.
But I am held to a higher standard. And, you know, I'm the king of scatological humor. So imagine trying to walk that razor's edge. But I got to tell you that if I beat on my wife, which, you know, I've never touched her, and I've been married 32 years.
She's worried about that also.
You know, but I will tell you, I've wanted to kill her a few times, but I've never have raised
well, that's
a hand.
That's normal in a marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but these guys are making huge money. They are looked at as gods by young people, and if they get away with it and then still go out and race, that is the green light for anybody to do it.
Well, there's been a complete change from, say, go 5, 6, 7 years ago when this was considered personal conduct.
Yeah.
Especially in politics. I mean, they get away from athletics and get into politics. Well, that's personal life. We don't get into that. And now they are getting into it.
Hey, it's a morality issue.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, Chris, I agree on one hand. What has NASCAR got to do? But hey, if you want to play the game, you better be a good boy. And I think that's what it boils down to.
Well, some of them go around saying, well, I don't want to be a role model. Just by the position they're in, they're automatically.
Get a job at Albertsons then if you don't want to be a role model.
Yeah. Because
you are a role model. And you know what?
You watch
Tony Stewart with his kind of anger management and all that stuff. You know what, Tony? You better clean up your act, brother, because you killed a guy now. And he was an idiot for getting out of his car.
That guy was an idiot.
Don't get me wrong.
It was advocated that he did not kill him.
No, I know, but a guy got killed. But the point is that this kind of stuff happens because, you know, you do kind of crazy things and say crazy things. And so there has to be
accountability
for what happens.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, that's about it for this half hour. We'll take a little break and be more. Chris Duke, stay with us. We'll be right back. Alan Taylor here. It is The Drive. Dick Messer, BJ Colleen, and Chris Duke from Motors TV. You can find it at motors.tv. He just calls it Motors. And Chris, we talked about NASCAR, put that behind us for a minute. We'll watch what happens. We'll talk some more about it next week, I'm sure, after the Daytona 500 happens and there's more controversy, I'm sure, going to be swirling because Jeff.
That'll be interesting.
He announced his retirement, and next thing you know, he's on the pole, and then that's, you know, the controversy everywhere. Yeah, exactly. Earlier, hold on, your mic's not turned on. Where the heck? There you go.
He's won the event 4 times, so it's not like
he's
coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, and you know, this will be his.
And he may have legitimately won the poll.
Yeah, I don't think they're cheating. Anyway, but we were talking in the last hour about technology and what have you, and so for a moment, there's a company out there, Sensory Inc. You're on their website right now, Chris, right?
Yeah, yep.
Tell me, what is Sensory Inc. all about?
Well, from what I can tell, they're up in Silicon Valley, and they are responsible for putting speech recognition in a lot of different products, consumer electronics from AT&T, Kenwood, JVC, LG, Mattel, Motorola, Plantronics, a lot of these different companies. So I'm curious as to what they are actually doing. Are they creating the technology? Are they creating the software? Are they working with these guys? Or how are they working with these guys? Because one of the things that I have noticed with different vehicles is that the technology, the speech recognition technology in these vehicles varies from completely sucky to, you know, moderately usable. And, you know, when I use my iPhone and Siri on that, it's pretty much dialed in. Siri hates my wife and it never works for her, but for me it works incredibly well.
Well, it's a jealous Siri, that's why.
In car, you know, it varies from manufacturer to manufacturer. Even brand new 2015 models, some of them just aren't dialed in yet.
Yeah. Well, Darren Clark's on the line. He is from Sensory Inc., and you can find out more about this company at sensory.com. Speech recognition across the board. My father drives up in his car the other day, and his car is talking to him with a British voice. And he's talking back with a British man. My father's smiling. He's a British man. So he loves the fact that he actually understands every word that car says when it talks to him. But the question is, you know, speech recognition. Everybody talks a little bit differently, different kinds of nationalities and, you know, the way we slur our words. Dick Messer, when he's on the show, after a couple hours, you can't understand a word
slurring,
he's saying. Darren, let's talk about this a little bit. Talk a little bit about speech recognition and sensory for a moment. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. Sure, I can give maybe a little bit of an overview of the speech recognition side of things. So there's kind of multiple pieces of speech recognition. There's vocabularies and there's pronunciations, which is across languages. People speak in different ways. You have different sounds that come with different languages. So there's really quite a bit that goes into speech recognition. At Sensory, we have a number of speech scientists, which are, you know, basically PhDs in linguistics and other disciplines that help us to train our speech recognition models in order to accurately recognize what people have said and the words they've said. And then at some point, obviously, you have to take the words that they've said and extract the meaning of them and what they're actually trying to do. So if I say something as simple as call Stacy Clark, it needs to recognize call Stacy Clark, and then it also needs to know that what I'm trying to do is make a phone call and open my application to dial a phone and find her name in my address book and give her a call as well. So
there's a lot going on there is what you're saying. Yeah,
yeah, it's something that seems very simple kind of at first glance, but then you look a little deeper and you realize it's a pretty complex task. And that's just something for something as simple as a voice dialing capability. And then you want to get into navigation or music search across tens of thousands of artists and song names and album names and things like that. You recognize that there is quite a bit of complexity to something that seems relatively simple on first glance.
And what is it doing? Reading the wave, the algorithm? What is it? How does it actually know what you're saying?
Yeah, it's a mathematical process. I mean, it's not different than a lot of things. There's algorithms that will recognize from the sounds that are made during the course of speaking a word or multiple words, how those sounds are going together, and then it extracts meaning from that. You know, it's like
amazing
I said, it's
stuff.
A complex process. Yeah,
no doubt about it. So why Chris said, you know, on the way in, why is there such a large variation of, you know, interface and how it? I don't even know how to ask you this question because you're like smart and I'm not. How come it's not, you know, as good as it could be on everything across the board?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, when you look in automotive, there's definitely a few reasons why speech recognition has not maybe caught up to other consumer electronics devices in automotive. And obviously within the automotive space, you have a very long manufacturing process time. So I've worked in both automotive as well as mobile phone and tablet and TV and PC spaces. And, you know, when you're in the mobile phone space and they can release a new phone and, you know, from concept to market in, you know, 6 to 9 months, that's a lot different than the automotive space releasing it in in, you know, 3 to 5 years, depending on the manufacturer. So,
well, where are we right now? Are we in a place where it's good, but it's going to continue to get better? Or is it as good as it's going to get, do you think?
I think we're in a place where it's bad and it's going to get better.
Oh, look at that. Thank goodness,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, in most cases, the number one complaint from consumers for their in-vehicle infotainment systems is the speech recognition. I mean, I work in the speech recognition space, and I rarely use the speech recognition in my vehicle just because it's just not as easy as pressing buttons. Now, that being said, with a lot of guidelines from NHTSA and a lot of guidelines from the automakers themselves putting themselves to task to make things more make things safer in the vehicle and modify the HMI, then, you know, you are going to see some pretty dramatic changes. I think over the last 3 or 4 years, maybe 5 years, I think, since Ford Sync kind of really launched the first specific effort to improve dramatically the speech recognition across their Sync apps and everything else, I think you're seeing a lot of automotive manufacturers putting a lot of time and money and effort into this and improving this, but we're maybe just at the beginning of that cycle of seeing those improvements come to fruition. Like I was saying before, with the long manufacturing cycles, it doesn't happen overnight, that's for sure.
BJ?
You know, I there's a couple of vehicles that I think do pretty well with voice recognition, some that don't, but, you know, the first generation of the Sync system before it got to my Ford Touch, I still think it actually understands it fairly well as long as you enunciate fairly clearly, but we were even doing some with some guys from Texas.
Turn the damn heater up,
Texas.
I said!
But I think the more important thing is trying to make speech recognition more colloquial. So, like, you get in the Ford product and you can say, I'm hungry, and it'll pull up a list of restaurants, because if you have to go navigation, you know, app food, you know, whatever, it gets too cumbersome for people.
Right.
So I think
it's almost
more smoothing it out and making it intelligent.
Right.
Well, he said that when
he
started the discussion.
Yeah.
Sometimes
these are
just press buttons.
Well, and I'm glad you said that, Darren, because, you know, I've just, like you said, I'd rather just push buttons than try and deal with this stupid thing. And it shouldn't be that. It's not stupid. It's amazingly intelligent.
It is.
It's just
got to
be, it's like a kid. It's
well,
got to grow.
Where it seems to work well is on your telephone, on your iPhone.
Yep. Yeah.
That part of it seems
Which is
to work
why they're
well.
Doing CarPlay now, because Alan and I saw the demonstration where it's Siri that talks to you when you push the button. So if you're
That's
used
exactly
to,
right. Yep.
Yeah, if you're used to Siri talking to you, then it's great.
All right, hold on, Darren. Yeah. We're going to hold you over. We have some more questions on speech recognition and software and the cloud-connected voice systems that are entering the market. What is that going to mean to us? We're talking with Darren Clark, Sensory Inc., sensory.com on the web. Chris Duke, you stay with us too, please. I'm going to give you the next question from Motors.tv. This is The Drive. Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Our show is brought to you in part by Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru. You know, we're sitting in GAS, Galpin Autosports, and Galpin is a family of dealerships. They have the Ford dealer, Galpin Ford, which is the largest volume Ford dealer in the world, and we're in their car collection right now. The family is Bachmann, the Bachmann family that owns Galpin Ford and all the different things. They also own a Subaru dealership, which is nice.
You know, besides being a dealership, it's also a destination.
It is. They have a Starbucks inside the Jaguar dealer.
And a restaurant.
And a restaurant in the Ford
Jaguar,
dealer.
Yeah.
And a Galpin Autosports.
And that's Brandon Bachmann joining us right now. He is one of the family members, by the way, who sold me my first car here. I bought my Shelby from Brandon. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, you got it. And then we bought it back.
I know. They bought it back 6 years
and
later.
And immediately flipped it for a giant profit.
No, exactly. Now, I brought the other set of keys in, by the way.
You did.
I did. I found it. Was like,
I heard.
Oh, my car.
They let me know.
Anyway, Chris Duke is on the line, and also Darren Clark. Now, Darren is with Sensory Inc. and sensory.com on the web. Speech
That's
recognition.
Very funny.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I couldn't.
Yeah. What are
you trying to say, Alan?
I even have a problem saying it, Darren. Chris Duke, I was going to throw the question to you. Chris Duke from Motors TV.
Yeah, actually, I've got two questions for Darren. The first one is, you know, we've been talking about these technologies. So what is Sensory Inc. actually do? You develop the speech recognition software? Do you deploy it? You just what do you guys do?
Sure. Yeah. So we do develop the speech recognition software. So it's called a speech recognition engine, and we deploy that across, as you noted from our website. We deploy those across a number of different verticals, including telephones and mobile phones and consumer electronics devices and Bluetooth headsets and all sorts of different verticals and automotive as well. So we focus on, and I think this was another question or another topic we're going to be putting forth here, but we focus on what's called embedded speech recognition. So that's the recognition that would happen locally on any device, whatever device that might be, without needing any connection to the cloud to do the speech recognition. So,
all right, I got another one for you though, because we're a little bit short on time. What about vulnerabilities in connecting your car to the internet and to the cloud and all that, and hackers? I mean, what are you guys doing about that?
Yeah, so that's kind of the way we look at the market, and we look at it and say, okay, we don't do anything connected to the cloud. And part of the reason that we do that is because there's, I guess, two reasons. Number one, if I say call home, why does that need to go to the cloud to recognize that? I mean, I have a device that's powerful enough to recognize call home and call my home number or call Stacy Clark or call anybody in my address book or even search my music catalog or do navigation. So those things could and should happen locally. The devices are powerful enough.
Sure.
And at the same time, the other reason being, I don't necessarily want that information sent to the cloud. I don't want the information of everybody in my address book stored in the cloud so that the recognition can happen better in the cloud.
Well,
I don't want,
know,
if I say, find Starbucks.
I don't even like the fact that some of the photos I notice, I'll open up a Google, search or whatever, and then I'll get a note saying, hey, all your photos are ready to upload to the cloud. And it's showing me my photos, and like some of the selfies I take in the bathroom are for me only. What's going on there?
Nobody would want to hack those, Alan. Don't worry. Don't worry about it.
Sorry.
Let that one go.
I didn't know those were going to be. And like three people are watching my email all the time. Like, oh, we better stop that activity. Yeah, I'm joking. But what about vulnerabilities? What are there with you guys's technology? Is there any vulnerability?
No, and that's one of the reasons that we really think we have an advantage in this space is by keeping and storing everything locally on the device. We don't have to worry about people being able to hack in and get all of my contacts or get my history of the navigation points that I've gone or anything along those lines. Our software is completely embedded with no connection to the cloud. And, it also helps if I'm driving down the road and I'm, I'm going through a tunnel or I'm in the Rocky Mountains or somewhere else and I want to listen to music. I shouldn't have to, at that point, abandon my speech recognition.
Right. Speaking of music, there's a Ted Nugent, Wango Tango, telling me take a break. Sensory.com, Darren Clark, thank you for telling us that the speech recognition in the cars we have these today is sucky at best, and it's going to get better. I believe those were your exact words, Darren. Thank you, brother.
Thank you very much.
All right. We're going to take a break. Come back with Brandon Bachman. Be right back.
Amazon's...
Never before have I turned on you. We look too good to me. I turned off my mic and turned yours on. You're not supposed
That's
to
good.
Talk, but
you're a professional. Don't try this at home.
No, let's leave it that way.
All right, Dick, take it away. Our show brought to you in part by Catskin. Of course, if you want leather interior and you've got some nasty, dirty old stuff because you're a workaday contractor and your truck still runs good, but you've destroyed those seats. Check out catskin.com, and that's spelled like this, KATZKIN.com. You can clean up that interior with a nice leather interior for not a lot of money. It's a really good deal. Also, thanks to Covercraft, celebrating 50 years, car covers. Barrett-Jackson, the world's greatest collector car auction. Brembo, the choice of champions. Bridgestone, they're passionate about making tires you can count on to perform when it matters most. Of course, then there's Craftsman, America's most trusted tool brand, made to make. And Dodge, born Dodge. We appreciate their sponsorship. Haynes Automotive Repair Manuals, Maserati, Shell V-Power Premium Gasoline. If you have a car that you put gasoline in, you probably ought to use Shell. It's about the best out there. And Subaru. Love. It's what makes a Subaru. And thanks to Brandon Bachman for letting us use the studio here at GAS, Galpin Auto Sports, where you can, I guess you guys are an official Shelby shop now, right?
We have been for a couple of years now.
Really? A couple of years?
Probably a year and a half.
You put the big sign on the side of the building. That's how I know it. Anyway, first of all, thank you again, really. We are sitting in a collection of cars that is just phenomenal. I mean, you guys have the most eclectic collection of weird, bizarre, awesome, all in the same thing. It's like a candy store.
You know, it's fun coming in every week because we like to see what's new. Oh, look
what
they changed. The Peterson, even though they were supposed to be a rotational museum, rarely did they move things around.
Well, it was when Dick was there.
Yeah, that's true. It was. But here, it's like, okay, we walked in today. Oh, look, they've got that. They've got that. So it's
a lot
fun,
of people come to this area of the country to see the Hollywood and the celebration of Hollywood and all that. And a good emphasis on this museum is a lot of celebrity cars, celebrity owned cars, and movie cars.
So it's cool.
Definitely. We have a lot of events in here.
Again,
it's
a destination.
Yeah, what'd you do last night here?
You had a wedding last time. We were here a couple months ago. They set up for a wedding. So.
Yeah, no, we've done a little bit of everything around here.
That's cool.
Just two
What's
nights
it
ago,
say right there, it says no customer left behind.
Yes, we had a employee vision meeting for our Ford store for Galpin Ford over here just a couple nights ago, and just kind of set our vision forward for 2015. One of our statements that we're carrying on through the year is no customer left behind.
How do you guys do this, man? It's like the number one in the world. You are not the biggest Ford dealership. You are, you know, this place has been here since what, the 50s, right?
This location since 66.
66, but the company, how old is...
Company's been around since 53.
Yeah, exactly.
No, before that, 47, right? I believe, 46,
and
47.
Is it your grandpa?
My grandfather.
Grandpa. He is...
He bought Galpin Ford. That's right. Why the name Galpin comes from.
Yeah,
exactly.
But the culture that he has put into effect, and I've bought a number of cars from you guys now, not all from you because evidently you were only the special car guy with special once upon a time, not anymore. but that's okay. I'm joking. But I'm the service, I've sent so many people here, and I mean, I know this is a bit of a regional thing because this is Los Angeles and we're on all over the whole nation, but listen, the world is... the internet these days.
Yep.
And so people can buy cars. I have a friend that lives in Raleigh, North Carolina. He bought a car in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You guys probably do sell cars all over the nation, right?
All over the nation, all over the country, all over the world.
I come from Oregon.
We sell them all over the world.
The word is in the business now, there's more transactions over the internet now than there are customers walking in the door.
There are. There's. You're getting a ton of people and an influx of people coming through the internet these days, just because it's so easy to do their research.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. It's just a matter of how you handle those is the big major thing,
right.
Which we pride ourselves on doing. You know, trying to be the best that, as well as
close the deal and then get them coming.
I just want to say that there's more to Burt Bachman than the car dealerships because. He has always been a supporter of the Valley. We're in the San Fernando Valley. I guess it's considered Van Nuys.
Correct.
And so he and his wife have really adopted the Valley and done everything they can to make it better. And he's done things like be on the board and it just everything that he's done. It's more than just being a car dealership. It's being a good community, a member of the community. And he's applauded for that as far as I'm concerned. So.
Yeah, no, he is. He's, done a lot of amazing things.
The people that are listening, we just hit on it. It's in Van Nuys, California, which is just a few miles outside Los Angeles, and it's worth
it's
a visit.
Worth coming.
It's the website.
www.galpin.com. You can get to all of our brands through there, or you can go to galpinautosports.com.
Galpin, G-A-L-P-I-N, by the way, everybody.
Correct.
Please say thank you to the rest of the family. We love it here.
We'll do. Yep. Thank you guys for being here. We love having you guys
These
here
These cars
as well.
Are inspiring. Chris Duke, Motors TV, thank you, brother.
Thank you, man.
Good talking to you. See you on the television, Motors.tv, for the Motors TV show that I am now a part of with Chris. BJ, thank you. Dick, thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you all for listening. It is The Drive. See you all next week.